today as we come to the table.
In those days, men will seek death and will not be able to find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. Again, you couldn't have a worse horror movie than this. You know, it's interesting here. Again, we talk about the coronavirus and everybody wants to live, right? I get that. It's human nature. You want to live. It's going to be so bad then, they're going to want to die. It won't be get me the shot or let me get over this or build immunity. It'll be just kill me. And so you can see how much more drastic it is than anything we're going through right now from that perspective, if you will. And that's how horrible it's going to be. But every time I read this, it says they will seek death and not be able to find it. You're not going to be able to die.
For most of us, it's hard to imagine getting to a place so dire that we'd rather die than continue to live through it. As Pastor Mark will point out in today's message, that's the level of torment that can be expected in the end times. It'll be so bad that people would rather just end their misery altogether, except they won't be able to. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. As awful as the end of this world sounds, you don't have to be depressed or hopeless. Jesus brought hope and redemption. He offers that to all of us. All you have to do is accept Him as your Savior. And instead of torture and eternal separation from God, you'll be welcomed in as a son or daughter in His family. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 9 as he continues his message. What's it going to take?
There is some seal on our forehead that identifies us as belonging to God. And I just think that's cool. I love it. You know, everybody likes to wear their little logo, you know, on their shirt or whatever. And here's their brand they like. Well, God's got His logo on your forehead. And there's no better logo to have. You're walking in style. And it would appear, at least for the 144,000, it was God's name. Now, we could argue theologically whether we all get God's name or there's some other thing. You know, it'd be like, you know, Yahweh, 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 making a me and say that guy, and then keep going. I don't know. But I get the feeling that all of us have the name of the Father on our forehead if we know Christ. And we're supernaturally protected. Isn't that great news? Especially in a chapter like this. Even for those who miss the rapture, we're going to see that those that have the seal on their forehead, He's going to supernaturally protect them. Notice what it says. And they were not given, so you can't touch them. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Now, this is interesting here. 5 months, because there's a couple of things about five. First of all, to torment them. Notice this. They can't kill them, just torment. We talked about God turning the heat up. This is an act of love. He could have said, go kill them all. And then eternal separation, right? No, no, not yet. I know they're hardened. I know they don't love me. I know they hate me, but I want to give them another chance. Just make them miserable. You can torment them. But my whole purpose of the torment is that they might be broken and come to Christ. And notice He puts a limit on it. Only 5 months. And by the way, if you're in pain, 5 months is a long, long time. You ever had just a moment? Every one of us in here probably had a moment of severe pain. Imagine that going on for 5 months. The sting of a scorpion, they say, is extremely painful for the ones in the Middle East. The kind of scorpion that John would have known about. They cause all kinds of infection, inflammation, delirium, hallucinations, everything. Sometimes even death in certain people. But these are not going to be allowed to kill, if you will. These are just going to be bringing great pain and great misery. And it's one thing to get stung by something and it hurt for a while, but for it to go on for 5 months? Here's what I find interesting. The number five in Scripture is the number of grace. Isn't that interesting? It's as if God's saying, I know this is horrific. I'm going to put a limit on it, but I'm going to show you my grace that you might break and receive me and know that I've allowed all this to happen because ultimately I love you. Also, I find it interesting that the Middle Eastern, what they call the desert locust, the average lifespan is right around 5 months. So there's a whole picture here that God is using, even in the real locusts of the Middle East, the desert locusts, as they call them. Sometimes there's a variation of the life on either side, but generally around five. And God is using all that here, again, to get their attention and to show them this torment. And notice their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not be able to find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. Again, you couldn't have a worse horror movie than this. You know, it's interesting here. Again, we talk about the coronavirus and everybody wants to live, right? I get that. It's human nature. You want to live. It's going to be so bad then, they're going to want to die. It won't be get me the shot or let me get over this or build immunity. It'll be just kill me. And so you can see how much more drastic it is than anything we're going through right now from that perspective, if you will. And that's how horrible it's going to be. But every time I read this, it says they will seek death and not be able to find it. You're not going to be able to die. Now, to what extreme that's going to be, I don't know. Is it going to be to the ultimate extreme? I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I don't recommend watching The Twilight Zone, but I remember the old original Twilight Zone when I was a kid, right? Probably the reason I had so many nightmares growing up. And there was this one episode of The Twilight Zone where this guy couldn't die. He was like, vehicle hit him, jumping off buildings. He couldn't die, and he wanted to die. It's like he was going to live forever, and he couldn't get out of it, and he was miserable. And I always think of that when I read this, but it's only going to be for a limited amount of time. But the bottom line is you're going to be stuck in that misery, unable to die, as God is working on. You can imagine laying there in that misery, being tormented in that misery. At some point, you're going to be thinking about God, either to curse him or bless him. And God's going to be waiting for those who will cry out and say, God, have mercy on me. I've been foolish, because he loves them that much. And it gets into the description of what these guys are like. Notice this. Again, remember, John is describing this the best that he can. He's not seen these demons before. He's not seen modern warfare before. So you got to imagine, if you saw these things you'd never seen, and you're trying to understand them, he's going to use the word like over and over and over, you know? So again, notice this. It says, the shape of the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. There's two things to note here. Again, if you look up horses for battle, they have on armor on their chest, they have armor on their head and armor on the sides. So these beings, they look armored up. And that makes sense that the angels would have an armor. Even as the Lord wears his breastplate in heaven, we see the vision of him wearing his special garb that he wears as a king. It would make sense that the angels have an armor. So these fallen angels have an armor, but it's not just the armor, it's the fact that they're prepared for battle. They're heading out to do destruction. Even as a locust wipes out the land, they're going out to wipe out those that God allows them to do so. And we'll see it when we get to the end of the chapter, God allows them to kill. And this time he's not. They're simply going out to torment, but they're prepared for battle. And notice this. This is interesting. On their heads were crowns of something like gold. So do all the angels have crowns? Or were maybe these were higher ranking angels that fell with Satan? We know that he was a high ranking angel. He was the cherub that covers. Did God hold them more accountable because they had higher rank? They had more authority? We don't know. We'll find out soon. But they're wearing crowns like gold. Their faces were like the faces of men. We know from Scripture that angels have faces like men. So that's very normal. This gets unusual here. Look at verse 8. They had hair like women's hair, and teeth were like lions' teeth. They were basically rock and rollers. I mean, this is I shouldn't joke about it. I'm sorry. Sometimes I say it and go, why'd you say that? And I truly mean this. If you knew what I didn't say, you would love me. I don't know. Angels, long hair? I don't. The Bible doesn't refer to that anywhere that I know of. Were these different? Lion's teeth? I certainly wouldn't think that angels would look like that. Is this some type of deformity that over the years in their rebellion to God, that God has even allowed a physical transformation, being locked up in the heart of the earth in Tartarus in this kind of grotesque creature? I don't know. I'm glad I won't find out other than watching from the upper level. But you wouldn't want to face these guys. They had breastplates, like the breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. Again, you've heard that sound maybe in movies of the horses and the galloping and the chariots and all. It's this thunderous sound. And so when they move their wings, it says in other places that it sounds like thunder. I mean, it sounds like water roaring, almost like the voice of an angel or the voice of God. So there's this rumble and this roar that comes with them, you know, this good bass, if you will, whatever. And so it gets said they had tails like scorpions, and their stings were in their tails. Again, probably you can't see them would be my guess. They're probably a supernatural sting they're doing, like the plague that we're experiencing now, except something much worse. And I'm not saying the plague now is something demonic. Only God knows what's going on now. But my point is, this will be demonic. You know, when David saw the angel striking the nation of Israel, when God was about to tell him where the temple was going to be built, the nation had rebelled against God. So because the nation rebelled against God, God allowed a plague in the land. And it was literally an angel striking the land with a sword, the Bible tells us. And David saw the angel with the sword in his hand, and he began to cry out to God and said, "Enough, why are you punishing the people? I'm the one that sinned." And David was taking personal responsibility, but God knew the whole nation was guilty. Shows the heart of David. But it's interesting because it was literally an angel swinging a sword, and it wouldn't have been a physical sword cutting people in two, but it brought a plague on the land. And so it would probably be the same type of thing here, these demonic beings stinging in a spiritual sense, causing these sicknesses, this intense pain, bringing this destruction in on mankind, and the power was to hurt men again for 5 months. Again, that limited time that God puts on it there. And it says, and they had as king over them. Again, this is how we know it's not literal locusts. The angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek his name is Apollyon. So here's some other names for Satan, Abaddon and Apollyon. As he, you know, gives another name here for other names for Satan. And notice this, he says, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these. Now you know why before this trumpet sounded, before these trumpets began, there was silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. There's this sense of, oh my goodness. Is this really what it takes for mankind? What's it going to take? Hence the title of today's message. Is this really what it takes for certain people to come to Christ? If that's really what it takes, I'll do it. I don't want to do it. I would much rather just say, I love you. Join me at my table. And you say, yes, Lord, here I am. He said, but if I have to unleash the demonic hordes to get your attention, I'll let it happen because I'm not giving up on you quite yet. One's done. Now we come to the sixth trumpet, the next woe. Look what happens. It advances. There was the warning. There was the rather large spank on mankind, if you will, to get their attention. They didn't respond. He wouldn't let them kill them. Now he's going to let them kill them. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel that had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the river Euphrates. Now, again, this is amazing. Notice this. Angels are bound. These are no doubt demonic angels as well. There's the group that's locked up down there. There's four others that didn't make it to Tartarus. Maybe God just locked them up in another place. Maybe they didn't do something quite as bad, but they're bound there, and God's going to release them at the right time to bring judgment on the earth as well. But what's interesting about this is the Bible tells us there are literally four angels bound at the river Euphrates. I wonder where. Are they above ground? Are they below ground? Are they invisible or are they visible? Can you imagine? Some Smithsonian archaeology thing. We found this strange tunnel here in, next to the Euphrates. Let's go in and see what's there. Right? Everybody's running going, 2020, 2020, 2020, right? Don't go in there. I don't know. And again, I don't mean to make light of them. But can you imagine if you do stumble upon something, just don't walk in caves haplessly around Euphrates, all right? I'm not sure they're there, but here's the good news. They're bound. But what an amazing thing if you could actually see them. We don't know that. But there they are bound. And notice how specific God is about the timing he's going to use them. This is how detailed our God is. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year. God's very specific. That's why when we see what's happening right now in our nation with COVID-19 and all these things, God is in control and we are exactly where he wants us to be on his calendar. Does everyone understand that? There's no surprise in heaven. God's not freaking out. We're exactly where he knew we would be. You're exactly the generation he chose to be here when this would happen. You have been prepared for such a time as this. What are you going to do about it? This is your moment. You're going to trust him. You're going to move forward and be a witness. And so you see God's specificity here of even when he's going to release these angels. And he released them to kill a third of mankind. And again, now it goes to death because they wouldn't respond to the torture. Now, the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. That is amazing. There's never been an army of 200 million. Even one of the largest nations in the world, China today, just a little bit over 2 million. However, in 1965, China said they could man a 200 million army. Isn't that an interesting number? They said, we could man a 200 million army. We don't have one, but we could put it together. And they could. With a billion people, you could do that. Or more, however many they have there now. And so is this going to be just demonic hordes of 200 million? Even that's more terrifying. Or is it going to be just these four angels demonically leading the coming together of a 200 million man army that's going to kill a third of mankind? Only time will tell, but the result will be, it'll be a 200 person or spirit army that's going to kill a third of mankind. I heard the number of them, he said. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. Remember, he's describing this the best that he can. Out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Some believe this was possibly modern-day tanks. With the way there's a little head portion up there and then the fire coming out, we don't know. Again, it's going to be either spiritual warfare or physical warfare, but mankind's going to be dying. There's a literal meaning behind it. We don't always know exactly what it is. But this here, he sees fire, smoke, and brimstone, probably modern warfare of some kind, being led by this demonic realm. It says, but by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. We're up to half of the earth now wiped out by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. Again, John describing it, what would it look like to you if you'd never seen a tank, if you'd never seen anything that shot something out like that back in John's day, and to see the smoke and the thing out of its mouth, like, you know, wow, you know, what is that thing? You know, I don't know, just don't talk to him, right? Don't talk to him. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. So again, this is where, again, does that sound like a modern tank here, but could this be some kind of warfare we don't know about? Listen, there's all kinds of new weaponry out there. There's a new laser weapon that we now have in our arsenal, believe it or not. It's been used, not by America, but another nation has already used it. It is a laser that basically is a real intense, almost microwave, energy-focused ray, like almost like you see in the movies or whatever, and it literally cooks the people. It starts cooking them on the inside. There's one whole troop, the front line was pushed back, being cooked. So much so, they're saying now in warfare down the road, they're saying because of this new technology, we can't send people into war anymore. We're going to have to send robots because we'll be able to cook each other and everybody will die before they ever get to the battlefield. And so things are changing rapidly. What is John seeing here? I don't know. But it's powers in the mouth and in the tail, for their tails are like serpents and with the heads of them, they do harm. Again, there are resemblances to a tank. We'll see what this is going to be. But notice this, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent. That's just amazing to me. It's like, what's it going to take? God's going to continue trying to reach them as we get to the last woe. But notice here, they didn't repent of the works of their hands, that they should worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see or walk, hear or walk. The bottom line is there's still going to be religions worshiping all these idols and all these animals and all these, you know, birds and trees and rocks and things. Even we know they're going to be worshiping the Antichrist at this time. He said, you shouldn't be worshiping all those things and this man and all this stuff. You need to be worshiping me, is what God is saying, but they didn't repent of that. And notice they didn't repent. He mentions four things here of their murders, their sorceries, their sexual immorality, and their theft. Again, mankind is already guilty of murder. It's going to be way worse in the last days. Murder's increasing. Notice this, or of their sorceries. This is interesting wording here because that's the word pharmakia. It's where we get pharmacy. What he's saying is drug abuse is going to become normal and rampant. This is what it's going to be like in the last days, it says. There's going to be just an acceptance of drugs. It's going to be something that's going to be normal. He says, you need to repent of that. You've got to repent of your murders. You've got to repent of your pharmakia. Repent of drug abuse. And he says, next, sexual immorality. And then lastly, he says, of thefts. And again, that is just, again, just stealing. And no doubt there'll be, you think there's looting now. You talk about looting and destruction when the earth is falling apart, people destroying things, stealing everything they can. He says, they didn't repent of that. And that needs to be repented of. It's sin before God. But the last thing I want to mention here before we finish and hopefully give you something to leave encouraging on, sexual immorality. This is why I said I rated today A and S, adult and sobering. Okay, this is an adult rating. This is why we have an age limit of those that come in here. I'm not going to say anything, don't worry, that's graphic, and I wouldn't say anything that would embarrass anyone. But it's interesting here. I think we have an askew definition of sexual morality in our culture today. We think sexual immorality is outside of marriage, which it is, and sometimes even outside of marriage, that's not considered sexual immorality, but it's where a man and woman come together in the sense of having children, all right? It doesn't need any more definition than that. But guys, sexual immorality is anything we do physically with someone else we're not married to. Even if it's not physical relations that could result in childbirth, so to speak. Anything you do physically with someone of the opposite sex that you're not married to is sexual immorality. Now, why do I say that? Because I see more and more, and I hear more and more, and I read more and more, and hearing comments of this generation saying, well, we didn't really have sex. We just did fill in the blank. And I'm like, don't you understand that is sex? That is sexual immorality. What do you think, sex is limited just to physical intercourse? You think that's all it is? No. It's anything. So I say it as a warning to not get pulled into that trap of thinking, well, you know, we'll go up to the edge, but we won't, you know, go all the way. In God's eyes, that is sin and it needs to be repented of. It is sin before God. Now, again, I mentioned that because I'm hearing more of that lately in this generation, but also I want to finish, I brought that in to finish this way. Here's the bottom line. Regardless of what sin it is, this is more than ever a time to make sure we're walking with God. God wants to come for a holy bride. We need to be a holy bride with him. Now, we're all guilty of sin. There's nothing God can't forgive you of. You should not leave here condemned. You should not leave here feeling guilty. Confess to God. Anything you need to confess, confess, and leave here singing. Leave here rejoicing. But as Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. God's calling all men to repent. God's calling us right now. He's saying it's time to get right. He's coming back for us. He wants us to be a holy bride without spot or wrinkle. We'll never be perfect. I know that until the Lord comes back and takes us. But we can walk holy with God, and that means walking separate from the world and in obedience to his word. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. And so let's take it to the Lord. Let's be encouraged. First, let me say this. I did it again last week. I think I told you I killed the first service. I tried not to kill him this time, but I'm afraid I do because, again, I kind of read it and said, let's pray. You know, it's like, because it's just first service. I don't know what. Maybe I'm not thinking. We're just kind of getting, I don't know. But I think this is a heavy chapter just to leave that way. We're going to pray, but let me say this. Aren't you glad that we're celebrating God coming into the world as a man, dying for our sins and forgiving all of us of our sin and taking us to heaven? Aren't you glad about that? Amen. That's where I want your focus to be this week. I don't want it to be, you know, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. I want it to be Jesus Christ came to the earth as a baby. How beautiful. Lived as just a sinless, perfect little boy into adulthood as a man, and then without any cause and any wrong was put to death and crucified and willingly let them nail him to a cross and spill his blood so that you and I wouldn't have to be here for chapter 9. But that we could be in the kingdom of God feasting rather. If you've not made that commitment to the Lord, listen, I believe that God desires that mankind be saved, if possible, without fear, just loving the Lord. But if fear, the Bible says, let some be saved with fear. That wasn't my intent today. But if this has put a holy fear in your heart, respond to it. Respond, receive Christ. Turn to the Lord, ask him to forgive you. And know you have your place in the kingdom. You won't be here. And if you're a believer and you've been convicted by some of these things we've read, let's get right. Let's make sure we're pure and we're holy for when the Lord, when he comes back. Yeah, the worst thing you can imagine, you're on your wedding day and your future husband or bride catches you kissing someone in the back room right before the ceremony. How would that make you feel? The Lord's coming back for his bride. We don't need to be showing any affection to anybody or anything but him. Because he paid for us, and he paid a high price. And the reward of waiting for his joy and his pleasures and his glory, we can't even imagine.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Revelation. There's so much to discover. If you missed any part of this broadcast or you want to hear it again, visit thewaymedia.net. You can also subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Again, just visit thewaymedia.net, then click on Come to the Table, or download the Way Media app and get push notifications on that day's broadcast. Our teachings through this climactic ending book of the Bible touches on God bringing judgment to a Christ-rejecting world. But that's not where it ends. If you choose to follow Jesus, there's much more life to live beyond the accounts of Revelation. The story actually continues and can include you. If you're unsure what this means, please don't hesitate to submit questions or comments on our website. Just go to thewaymedia.net. click on Come to the Table and find the questions and comments link. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we'd appreciate your prayers during this study. The book of Revelation can be a controversial and debate-ridden study, and we're asking for unity and a clear message to be presented that's inspired by God Almighty. Please pray that the Holy Spirit would lead those who don't know God to hear this program and find hope in Jesus. Thanks for lifting your fellow listeners up to the Lord. Pastor Mark has more to share on the big picture of the book of Revelation, so we hope you'll be able to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.